Welcome, everyone, to our evening worship service. The announcements on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. There's due to be a prayer meeting here in the church hall. And then next Lord's Day, God willing, the worship services at 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. There's a new missionary prayer letter for the autumn, and those should be available next Sabbath day to cover September, October, and November. Well, we come to worship God together this evening. We commence our worship in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious God, we give thanks that we can come together and come into your presence in worship this evening. We thank you for the day that we've had already. We thank you for the blessings that we've already received. And we praise you, Lord, that in your goodness, each day is a day when we receive blessings from you. We thank you for the place that we have here in which we can meet, and we ask that you will be with us now as we seek to come together. We thank you for your word that we can read. Thank you for the scriptures that you have provided us with, for how you have overseen that process by which the word of God was written down and preserved. We thank you that we have it in our own language, and that it is freely available in our land. We ask that you'll bless to us your word as it's read and preached. Help us, O Lord, in all of our worship this evening. We pray for many other places where people will be gathering together, seeking to worship you, seeking to acknowledge that you alone are God, that salvation is found in no other place and no other person. And we pray now that you will forgive us our sins and receive our worship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Turning to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Timothy, and I want to read chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It's page 1057 in our Pew Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and reading from the beginning of the chapter. This is the Word of God. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we end our reading at the close of this chapter. I want to speak this evening and on some other occasions on the life of Timothy. Timothy is one of those characters in the New Testament who is much more of a background character. He's not one of the leading characters. He's not like a Paul or a Peter in the New Testament. He's not like a David or a Moses or an Abraham in the Old Testament. He's regarded as being someone who was a more ordinary sort of character and had a more ordinary role in life. And that's probably how we think of ourselves. We are ordinary folk. And so the life of Timothy, who was in many ways one of the more ordinary people in the New Testament era, is something that is of benefit for us to consider. I want to speak first of all about Timothy's upbringing, and this evening I'm thinking about Timothy's childhood. Timothy's upbringing. He lived, as far as we know, in a place called Lystra. Lystra wasn't a big city. It wasn't a place of any great significance. It wasn't the kind of place that would have been expected to produce anyone famous. And as regards his family life circumstances, there were things in those God-appointed details of his life that were a blessing to him, things that he would have been glad of, and there were probably other things that he would have found very hard to cope with in life. In Acts 16, verse 1, we're told that his father was a Greek. And there's nothing in the Scriptures to indicate that Timothy's father was ever a believer. It may be the case, we don't know, it may be the case that Timothy's father had died before Timothy is mentioned in the book of Acts. His father was a Greek, but his mother was different. Acts 16 verse 1 says that she was a Jewess. So this was a mixed marriage. This was something that God had forbidden in the Old Testament Scriptures. But this was a fact of life for Timothy. He was born into this household where his father was a Gentile or a Greek, and his mother was a practicing Jewess. Timothy's mother was called Eunice, and she wasn't just a nominal Jew. She wasn't just someone that saw that as being her nationality. She was a lady who sought to pass on her own faith, her own beliefs, and her own values to her son. And we see that in 2 Timothy 3, in what Paul says to Timothy, and tells him about how from infancy he has known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy was taught the truth of the Word of God from his very infancy, from his earliest days. And presumably it was his mother that had done that teaching. So this is the family into which Timothy was born. Now, in any marriage where people have different beliefs, where the husband believes one thing and the wife believes another, the presence of a child is something that tends to accentuate those differences. And God had required that Jewish boys were to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. That may have been an issue of contention in Timothy's household. He wasn't circumcised when he was 8 days old. His mother was a Jew, but he wasn't circumcised. And we can probably safely make the assumption that his father didn't want him to be circumcised. And sometimes in today's world, you get the same kind of situation where two people of different backgrounds marry, and then there are disagreements as to how the child will be brought up and whether particular religious ceremonies are appropriate for that child. For Timothy, it was something that he would have been aware of as he grew up. His father and his mother didn't see eye to eye on things, and that put him in a situation which was difficult. Was he going to go the way of his father? Or was he going to go the way of his mother? Or was he going to go some other way? Would he annoy one of them, or annoy the other, or annoy both of them? Timothy was in a difficult life situation. And those kind of things can be very difficult for a child to cope with. And these things in themselves constitute one good reason why God teaches us in his word that Christians are free to marry only in the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. Believers, Christian believers, should marry only those who are also Christian believers. Now, for Timothy, as he grew up there in Lystra, as a child of this mixed marriage, there was probably a sense that he had to live with that he didn't quite fit in. The Jewish children probably wouldn't have accepted him as being truly a Jew, but neither would he be regarded as being a proper Gentile. And Timothy probably felt as if he was a bit of a misfit, that he didn't quite slot nicely into any category at all. And it's easier in life if you fit in. When you don't fit in, that can be a challenge. Now, later on in his life, when Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him on his second missionary journey, he recognized that problem that Timothy's background presented to the Jews in that area. And at Acts 16, verse 3, it says, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, and so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was or had been a Greek. Oh, Timothy's father was well known in the area where he lived. And so for Timothy, it seemed to be a case that everybody knew his business. There was no being anonymous for Timothy. The comfort of living a quiet life where no one knew who he was or what his background was, that was a thing that Timothy didn't experience. So that's the kind of upbringing that this man, Timothy, had. And I want to consider then what we can learn from Timothy's experience, from the fact that God worked in the life of someone like Timothy and raised him up to be a thoroughly useful servant for the Apostle Paul and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think on Timothy's life experience and his background, I want to look at it from three different angles. First of all, the angle of the child. Timothy had a mother who sought to teach him the Old Testament scriptures. But that wasn't the only thing that Timothy would have been taught at home. The things that his father believed would have been things that Timothy would have known something of as well. And that clash of fundamental beliefs was something that would have made life hard for Timothy at times. And yet, God used that for good. And God worked in the life of this boy. And he became someone who was of the utmost usefulness to the Apostle Paul in his missionary labors. And so in that fact, there is encouragement for children, for those who are young in life. It's never the case that you need to have a perfect beginning in life for God to be able to make something of you. And that's just not the case. God in the scriptures uses people with all sorts of messed up family backgrounds. And when you're young and when you're tempted to think that you couldn't do something or other because of your particular life situation, you don't need to think that way. Most of that kind of thinking just leaves God totally out of the picture. And God saw fit to put Timothy into a family setting where life would not be easy for Timothy. Timothy would have experienced tensions and difficulties. He would have had hard choices to make, choices where he knew he couldn't please everybody. And that was good preparation for Timothy for the life that God had in store for him. And God was able to take Timothy, and many people wouldn't have wanted to swap places with Timothy. There would be many children growing up along with him, and they would have been glad that they weren't in Timothy's position. But God took him, and God used all of that for good in his life. And so we should be encouraged by that. And whether you're young yourself, or whether you think of those who are young, and you think of those, and they have a very challenging life situation, well, that doesn't mean that God can't do wonderful things in the life of that child or that young person. Then also, in thinking about Timothy's childhood experience, we can look at it from the point of view of the parent. And the way things worked out in Timothy's life surely gives encouragement to parents. In today's world, there are many cases where there is one partner within a marriage who's a Christian and the other is not. And sometimes that is the result of a rejection of God's commands. But other times, it's the case that when people got married, neither of them were believers, and then one of them subsequently becomes a Christian. And so either the husband's a Christian and the wife isn't, or the wife's a Christian and the husband isn't. And that can be a difficult thing for people to cope with. But the example here and the experience of Timothy's mother is one that should give hope to those who are in such a situation. Because Timothy's mother lived to see great things come from her patient instruction of little Timothy. And she began to teach him from his very earliest days. From infancy, he had been taught the Holy Scriptures. And she had the joy of seeing him learn these things and believe these scriptures. And in God's good time, Timothy was a Christian, and his mother was a Christian, and the scriptures indicate that he had a grandmother who was a Christian also. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, Paul says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So the example of Eunice, the mother of Timothy, is to be an encouragement to mothers and to fathers. It should be an encouragement whether the other half of the marriage is a Christian or not, or whether there is someone else involved in the upbringing of the child or not. Eunice's experience is an encouragement to press on in teaching children the truth of God's word. Without that patient background work, Timothy may well not have been ready to believe the gospel when the Apostle Paul came to the city of Lystra proclaiming the good news. Timothy's mother is an encouragement in the teaching and training of children in the things of God. And some parents have the joy of seeing their children believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves at a young age. For others, it comes later in life, and for some, it comes after it doesn't come, because sometimes that prayed for conversion comes after the parent has died. In our world today, there are many children who are probably given more than is actually good for them. If they had less stuff, they would probably get on better in life. There are many children that know how to manipulate their parents or whoever looks after them in order to get what they want. And Christian parents are called to a higher standard and called to recognize that we have something that is greater than material things to give to our children. And that is the gift of God's truth. We can't give our children salvation, but we can show them the truth as it is in the scriptures. And we need to remember that. And we need to trust and pray that God will use that mightily in our own experience, as he did in the experience of Timothy's mother, Eunice. So there's an encouragement in the Timothy story from the child's point of view. There's encouragement also from the parent's point of view. Then I also want to think about what this says to the church, because the upbringing of Timothy has something to say to the church as a whole, and surely it should remind us of the importance of children being taught the word of God. And what can be done in these days for many children who are growing up, and many who don't have any real opportunity to hear the word of God at home. There are many children that don't have a believing mother, or a believing granny, or a believing father. In some cases, there is an opportunity for a believing grandparent, or an aunt or uncle, or whatever it may be, to have an input into the life of a child like that. And Timothy was blessed in that he had a believing grandmother called Lois. Surely it is a good thing when the church as a whole seeks in some way to reach children with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that will be a real challenge to us, particularly in these days where we're restricted in terms of the meetings that we can hold. There's been a lot of talk about children being damaged by not being able to get to school and what the long-term consequences of that might be. Well, children will be damaged if they don't have the opportunity to be taught the Word of God. And so that's something that we need to consider in these days, how we can seek to be those who pass on the truth to the children that are growing up and are coming to understand what life is all about. And they need to be directed by the Word of God or their thoughts will be wrong. They won't of their own accord come up with the message of the Christian gospel. That's something that they need to hear. And without that, there is no hope. And God is able to make great servants for himself out of children who come from the most messed up of life situations. But the way that God does that is normally through the efforts of people who are willing to give of their time to reach children and young people like that. Time spent in the teaching and training of the young Timothy was not time that was wasted. That was time that was wisely invested. And when we give of our time to seek to impart to children the truth of God's word, that is time that is well spent. And so we hope to be able to resume our Sabbath school classes. We hope that there will be opportunities in the future where our church camps can come together again. And where our CY meetings and holiday Bible clubs and things like that can go ahead. And the story of Timothy in the scriptures is an encouragement. It shows us the great value of seeking to steer children while they are young in a Christward direction. The training of Timothy started in infancy. And that training bore much fruit. So in thinking of Timothy and his life story, this is the beginning of it. This is how it was for him. It wasn't an easy family situation to be born into, but that was God's way for him. And God used all of those difficult things in shaping Timothy, because Timothy would have to, as a missionary, go into some very difficult situations. And he would be working with people who had very difficult family situations. And so Timothy knew what it was like. And God was working in his life from his very earliest days. So let us take encouragement from Timothy's childhood. And let us look to God that in these days that he would also be at work in the lives of many, many children as they grow up, and as they are taught from infancy the scriptures, that God's word will take a grip upon them, that they'll be drawn to Christ, and that they'll be willing servants of the Lord Jesus as young Timothy in time became. Amen. Now, thinking about these things, we come to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thanks for your word. We thank you for all the years of our lives when we have known and heard your word. We give thanks that many of us can testify that we also have known from infancy the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. And, O Lord, we praise you for that blessing. We thank you for how good it was to be taught the truth and to grow up knowing the message of the Scriptures, knowing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we pray for children and young people growing up in these days. We pray for those who are getting ready to start back into school life, and we pray for them as they'll be aware that things won't just be the same as they were whenever they finished up. We pray for all the challenges that are there for children at school. We pray for them as they are aware of other children around them who don't have any love for God, whose language reveals that. And we pray, Lord, that you will give a strength of character to children to be able to act properly when they see others doing things that they know to be wrong. Give them the courage, O Lord, not just to join in and be the same as others, but give them, O Lord, what they need to be willing to honor you and not ashamed of the Lord and of the gospel. We pray, O Lord, for many children who have very little exposure to the message of the Christian faith, and we pray that there will be ways by which such children will hear the good news. And we pray for all who seek to explore those avenues of opportunity. We pray for the work that goes on within schools, and for those who would be in different schools. We pray for the work of Scripture Union, and we ask, Lord, for your cause to advance through those means. We pray, O Lord, for the good work that is done in various Christian uniformed organizations, in church youth groups and Sabbath school classes and church camps and things like this. And we pray, O God, that in all of these there will be future opportunities for young people to be confronted with the truth of what the Word of God says. And Lord, we pray that you would work mightily in the lives of those who are young. We pray that you would just open the eyes of the young, that they would see that these things really are the truth. And we pray, O God, that you would give faith early in life, a solid trust in the Lord Jesus, and a delight in following him. We thank, Lord, of the children of our missionaries, and we pray for them, O Lord, in the difficult thing it is that they are faced with in their lives. We pray for the Berical young folk in Spain. Pray for them with all the changes they've experienced in life. We pray that you help them in their language and their ability to speak and to write. We pray that you will help them, O Lord, at home, and help them in the times when they're out and about. We pray that the children may be able to get to school, and that schooling arrangements will prove to be witnesses. We pray about him, and we pray, O God, that he would have the strength and courage that he needs to follow you in a situation where there would be very few children who would think of themselves as being Christians. We pray for the Gemfrey young folk in Galway. We thank you for the We pray that these young folk who have strengthening. We pray. The future opportunities to be work of the gospel and cause of the gospel. Among the young. Lord, we pray for your mercy in this, and we pray that you will remember this in the way that you direct things and the way that you govern the course that this pandemic takes. Places of worship. And, O Lord, we pray that that will create within children an interest. We know from our own experience that when we're not allowed to do something, it arouses our curiosity. And so we pray that that will be the case where the government doesn't allow children to attend places of Christian worship. May they want to find out why this might be. And Lord, we pray that there'll be many who are banned from attending such events as children who will nonetheless come to believe for themselves. And Lord, we look to you to do your mighty working. We know, O Lord, that although there may be many obstacles that men would place in the way of the advance of the gospel, that none of these things are too difficult for you to overcome, and that you can bring praise to yourself by working against all of these obstacles. Lord, hear these, our prayers. We ask that you'll continue to remember us in our needs, be with those who are weak and who are ill at present. And we ask, Lord, for your comfort. We pray for healing, and we pray for strengthening. Hear our prayers now. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalm that we sing in closing is part of Psalm 103. The tune is Maine, number 113. Psalm 103, and we sing the stanzas from 12 through to 17. Stanza 12 says, "A father would compassion have upon his children dear, just so the Lord compassion has on those who do him fear, because he in himself knows well just how we have been made, and he remembers that we are formed out of dust indeed." And God knows and remembers our constitution. He knows what we are. He knows our limitations. And we're also assured in this portion of the sure, steadfast love of the Lord, stanza 16. "But yet the Lord's sure, steadfast love from everlasting will endure to everlasting on all those who fear him still. The Lord, his righteousness extends to children's children, they who keep his covenant and recall his precepts to obey." God delights in extending his salvation from one generation to another generation. His righteousness extends to children's children. Well, we remain seated as we sing these stanzas 12 through to 17. The tune, Maine 113. And after this singing, I will bring the service to a close then in the benediction.
A father, what compassion hath children dear, just so the Lord compassion has on those who dare him fair, because he in himself knows well just how we have been made. And he remembers that we are formed out of dust indeed. And as for man, his days are like the grass that springs up new. Just like the flower of the field, so does he flourish too. But then the wind blows over it, and it is gone for sure. And then the place where once it stood takes note of it no more. But yet the Lord shows steadfast love from everlasting will. Endure to everlasting on all those who do him still. The Lord his righteousness extends to children's children, they who keep his covenant and recall his precepts to obey.
Now I receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.